Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D-Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt, welcome back. Very excited to talk to you about a lot of rumors flying around right now. Specifically around Russell Westbrook, we'll get into that on today's episode. That's going to be the majority of what today's episode is about. But first, I wanted to see how you're doing, man, and see if you caught any of ESPN's mock draft, their half-hour special yesterday. But how you doing, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Another day closer to the draft. Getting crazy excited. Rumors are flying. And, dude, I can't wait to talk to Russell Westbrook a little bit later on today.
Don't ask me a dumb question you know the answer to.
Dude, the last time we talked about Russell Westbrook in any serious conversation, it got heated. And anybody's been listening to our show for over a year or so, you remember, I think this was, it was like last year around September time where we had a heated back and forth about acquiring Westbrook. But yes, I'm excited to talk about it as well. But did you get to check out ESPN's mock draft that they did, the half hour special yesterday?
Absolutely, man. And the, you know, the ESPN Plus detailed NBA mock that they had that was 1 through 60 that just dropped yesterday. Some pretty interesting stuff. I was kind of disappointed that they didn't get crazy in any way. As far as, you know, like they just had every team, you know, sticking with their picks as opposed to some of the wild trade stuff that we're maybe expecting to see. And they went chalk. As far as chalk gets with this particular draft class, I mean, LaMelo, Wiseman, Edwards, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that they did that too. Playing it very safe, but let's take a listen to hear what they decided to do for the Bulls at 4.
The Bulls are going to select Denny Avdia, 6'10" combo forward out of Israel, played for Maccabi Tel Aviv, Serbian, Israeli, has great size, great positional length, and this is a guy who can shift really anywhere from 1 to 4 on both ends of the floor. He's tremendous in transition, and he's going to give them a guy who can step in as a starter right away, already has 100 pro games of experience.
And you have to think that Luka Doncic and his success is going to positively impact how Denny Avdia is viewed, because he can play at both ends of the floor. He's probably a better defender, I think, than Luka Doncic. He's not the offensive player. Very few players in the world are. But this is a good, solid pick for Chicago.
Oh, I agree with both of y'all. Look, this kid is 6'10". He could play both ends of the floor. Very skilled. You cannot pass up on a kid like this. And I think this guy is a perfect fit for the Chicago Bulls. So I'm 100% in with that pick that y'all just picked with the Chicago Bulls.
So not surprising, Matt. The only thing that stood out to me, and that was Jay Billis, Kendrick Perkins at the end that you heard, and Mike Schmitz making the pick from Draft Express and ESPN. Not really surprised at all. Denny is still the favorite among sports betting books, too, at 2-1 for the Bulls to take them with their first pick. But I did not, man... If the Bulls are going to take him, I don't want the Luka connection. Don't put those expectations on Denny already. Like, that's just going to be unfair.
It's lazy and it's irresponsible is what it is, because Luka is like a multi-generational talent. I mean, the kid was legitimately a top five MVP candidate in his second season. I mean, you know, D Rose did it in his third season. He won MVP, youngest league MVP ever, after, you know, rookie of the year and a second year all-star. But Luka's trajectory right now is even greater than that, which is crazy. he led one of the most historically efficient offenses in Dallas this season, and he has a decade of prime years ahead of him. Just because they're both Euro players and Denny's a pretty gifted playmaker for a guy his size, I mean, the comp stops there, in my opinion. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that.
Hey, you know what Luka Doncic can do? Shoot basketballs into baskets. Let's see Denny do that before the Luka comps start flying.
It's just, yeah, it's not even close, man. Like, I respect Jay Billis and his opinions 100%, but it's for TV, man. It's the glow up because of Luka. There's so many other better players to connect Denny with other than Luka. I was seeing, like, some people, even, you know, older Bulls fans were saying, making the media connection to Tony Kukoc. But to even a lesser extent, man, if Denny could just be a solid defender for the Bulls and any positive upside you get on his offense, that's the guy that they take it for, I'm all for it. Like they said, too, I think the positive on Denny is he's already got pro experience. He can come in and pretty much play starter minutes right away. I don't think the Bulls are going to necessarily need him to do that right away, but he can definitely do that.
They might if Otto and Hutch are both on the injury shelf to start the season. And yeah. I mean, come on, what are the odds of that happening? 80%?
That's true. But it would be interesting to see lineups where you do play Denny and Markkanen at the same time, or you see, even to some extent, maybe you even see Otto Porter and Denny play at the same time. I think it opens up a lot of flexibility for what the Bulls can do at their wing spots, something that we haven't had in God knows how long, Matt. But again, not completely thrilled with it, because I think I'm with you in what we had been talking about earlier in the week, where I want a combo guard that can be a main ball handler, main ball distributor.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ESPN mock draft gets this right, in the sense that if the Bulls decide that none of the guards on the board are worth taking at four, and they can't find a trade down, the most likely non-guard candidate that the Bulls will take if they stay at four is clearly Denny Avdia at this point. I don't think there's any debating that. If they don't take a swing on Hayes, or if they don't decide they love Halliburton and want to plug and play him right away, there's also been a little bit of talk recently about them also being a fan of Lewis and him doing an interview with the team, although I think maybe that's more of a trade-down kind of prospect. If they don't take a guard, they're taking Denny, I think.
If I said to you Denny becomes some version of Gordon Hayward or Hita Turkoglu or maybe even Lamar Odom, would you be happy with them taking him at four?
Dude, give me all the heat, the Hita Turkoglu stock. I loved him. Dude was awesome.
The funny thing is like the people that are comparing Hito Turkoglu to Denny are saying the one thing is Hito never ran and gave a shit. I think Denny will. So, hey, if that's right. The upside, man.
But
I'm
again,
in.
You know what Hito Turkoglu could do?
Shoot the basketball. Yep, that's for sure. But maybe that's something the Bulls aren't concerned with, man. They should be, considering their offense last year and just pissing games away. But maybe they're just going to rely on Markkanen having a bounce back year, actually having a healthy Otto Porter, and letting Coby White flourish a little bit more. Let him and Zach LaVine take over most of the offense. So I'll say this.
I won't hate it. If we end up with Denny at four, I won't hate it.
No,
I'll be cool with it.
Same. 100%. Same. I love the Chicago connection, too. It makes it a little bit sweeter that he was a Bulls fan growing up as well. And he's 19, man. It fits with the perfect plan of having young, switchable guys on this team. And so it'd be a great pick at four. Before we get into the Westbrook stuff, Matt, want to let our listeners know about our fantastic friends over at Built Bar. Been telling you about their amazing protein bars for the last several months. Their bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they come in 12 of their original flavors, plus 6 brand new flavors that they're offering, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. if you're looking for your chocolate fix and you don't want to add all that unnecessary sugar, you know, you don't want the crashing feeling from eating a chocolate bar and then 20 minutes later you got no energy, go with the Built Bar. The peanut butter flavor is my favorite. It also gets your chocolate fix. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Matt. Russell Westbrook, unhappy with the Rockets. Obviously, we know about the Rockets owner and him wanting to cut costs. James Harden sounds like there's a weird storyline going on there. The Rockets are having themselves a year, man. And the Westbrook storyline is just the latest of all of them. But sure enough, as soon as he comes out and says that he wants to request a trade via Shams Charania, the Bulls are connected. What was your immediate reaction to that?
Laughter would be the immediate reaction. I think it's intriguing and it's fun to think about because the Bulls have not had a star of Russ Westbrook's, you know, power, star power, not just on the basketball court, but just the allure of a star that big since D Rose fell out of his. Even as Jimmy was on the up and up, he was not on the same level of Russell Westbrook. So that's why it's intriguing to think about. And the fact that new front office, we're making a lot of changes. Hell, you know, F it, why not? Let's shake things up. But the more you look at the trajectory of Westbrook's play compared to the contract that he is owed and the details we've heard from Charania in that report that stated that Westbrook is looking to basically get back to a situation where he is the alpha dog on a team, you know, 35 usage percentage every night, and that he doesn't really have the legs to do that anymore. To me, it's a fun thing to think about for a second, but a pretty easy hard pass.
Yeah, I'd have to, in a world where the front office wasn't changed, the coaching staff wasn't changed, and we were still pretty much doing the same thing, floating in mediocrity and not having too much success with this rebuild, I would have been all in, same thing that I was last year. I'm less all in at this point, Matt, because I feel like there's so much potential. There's so much positivity with this roster going forward. And I want to see what Donovan and AK and Mark Eversley and their entire new staff are going to be able to do with the pieces the Bulls already have. I think, like, I just can't even get over the fact of the contract, man. Like, I can't get past that. And while you can make some moves and do some things that I think would benefit the Bulls if they were going to trade for him, but I don't think the Rockets are going to say yes to any of these deals. So what I guess what I asked you to do was come up with two hypothetical trade scenarios and put the Bulls involved if this was going to be a scenario for those that want Westbrook out there. Like I said, again, prefacing it with the fact that, remember his contract. He's owed $41 million this year, $44 million next year, and he's got a player option in 2022-23 for $47 million. So he's 100% picking up that player option. So 3 years, over $100 million, you're going to owe Russell Westbrook still. And so what do you think he's worth? My first thought, Matt, was I'm taking it as a salary dump at one point, which is going to knock the value of Westbrook down significantly if that's what I'm going out to acquire. And I don't know if the Rockets feel the same way.
I think that they would want more than just the salary dump for Westbrook. The hypothetical that I've seen that makes the most sense was thrown out there by our guy Darnell Mayberry. And if you haven't read his column for The Athletic yet, breaking down all of the pros and cons of a hypothetical Westbrook to the Bulls trade that dropped earlier this morning, absolutely go and read it if you can. Because, I mean, Darnell knows Westbrook better than anybody on the Bulls beat. He covered Westbrook for 6 or 7 seasons when he was working in OKC. He loves Russ. He knows Russ very well. But the hypothetical that Darnell threw out there was Otto and Zach. And then, you know, maybe that's enough with the salary dump to not have to throw in a pick because you're actually giving the Rockets, you know, a 3-and-D shooter in Otto, who they love with their system. And LaVine being potentially a legitimate second star, complimentary star to James Harden. That, to me, actually makes some sense and could get a conversation going.
I see it from the Rockets' terms, but that's a non-starter for me, right? Like, here's a couple things that are completely, I'm hanging up the phone immediately if we're talking Westbrook deals for the Bulls. One is any picks. I'm not giving up any first-round picks, whether it be this year or any future first-round picks. 100% no. Two, I'm not giving up Kobe White or Zach LaVine. So if any of those three are involved in pieces for Westbrook, I hang up the phone. I say thanks, but no thanks. I'm out. The idea of the Bulls with not even knowing what the salary cap is going to be in the short term over the next couple of years and having to take on that money for an aging Westbrook, a dude that still wants to be the, hey, I want to be the guy that gets back to the triple doubles every night. Like, that's not what the Bulls are trying to form here again. And I don't know if Billy Donovan necessarily wants to deal with that problem again either. So no first round picks for me, no Zach LaVine or no Kobe White. Where do you think that puts the Bulls in terms of a conversation at that point, Matt?
I mean, I think at that point the Rockets say, okay, then you're not offering anything we want. I mean, you know, maybe you could see Lowry if he really does come out of this rut and turn into the player we thought he could be as the piece that the Rockets would like. A stretch four to play alongside James Harden. Wendell is an undersized center, so that's kind of along, you know, the Rockets, you know, way of things, but he's so limited offensively right now, I'm not sure that they would be that interested. And then, okay, that's it. You're out of your young core pieces that the Rockets might want. And I'm with you. I'm not super stoked about the idea of, forfeiting future draft capital when you're just now getting a new front office that might figure out how to use that draft capital moving forward with this, revamped rebuild. So at that point, if you aren't willing to sacrifice Kobe or Zach, along with likely Otto for the sake of matching contracts, I think that's the dead end, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, so now that we're talking a little bit more, I came up with two trade scenarios. Let me throw the first one at you. That's just the Bulls and the Rockets. And this, it was part of, in a lot of scenarios, it was part of what Darnell had put out there in saying, I don't think the Rockets even entertain an offer, which includes Thaddeus Young and Otto Porter Jr. That was my immediate thought is, okay, you could pair those guys and maybe even throw a guy like Chandler Hutchison into the deal too. Young, controllable wing. Has some upside. You could throw him in that deal too to entice the Rockets. But again, like I even took it as so far that I'm so disgusted by that contract that if I'm letting the Rockets out of Russell Westbrook's money over the next 3 years, like I need a pick on top of that. If I'm letting them out of basically a $30 million and opening up their books to be players next summer again, mm-hmm. I need a pick. I don't know how you felt about that, but I had Russell Westbrook, their 2022 second round pick, lottery protected, coming to the Bulls for Thaddeus Young, Otto Porter Jr., and Chandler Hutchison.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's enough for the Rockets, though. I mean, all you're getting is the salary dump at that point. No offense to Otto, Thad, and Hutch.
I think if Otto stays healthy, he can be a versatile piece that the Rockets still can be in contention next year. It would be kind of a bridge year where you tell James Harden, hey, I think we could still have a competitive team here. It's going to be another weird season. Let's hang tight. We'll have a bunch of money to spend in the summer of 2021. We'll have a bunch of cap space and we'll go out whoever you want to pair with next. We'll try to pitch them there. I think there's a route to do that. But again, I think I'm with you too. At that point, I don't even think it's enough. Even if you take out the first round pick, I think then you're talking about what incentive does the Bulls have to do that other than gaining Russell Westbrook and a star. Like there's so much more at risk for the Bulls than there is at the Rockets at that point.
Yeah, and I think basically all it does is get you maybe 5 or 10 wins closer to competition because, you know, even as he's aging, Russ could certainly do that for this Bulls team. And maybe getting Russ, depending on the pieces you give up for him, gets you back in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. Great. What does it do for you long term? And, you know, there's really not even the incentive right now to do it just to excite a fan base and get butts in seats because, hey, guess what? Butts aren't allowed in seats right now and probably won't be all season long at the United Center. So I keep coming back to the version of Russ that we've seen and the version of Russ that we're about to see, because we know that he's had a history of knee issues, along other injuries. We know he has heavy, heavy mileage on his legs over the years. I saw an interesting detail from Darnell's column. Assuming an average workload, you know, compared to his average season over the last, you know, decade of basketball with a 72-game season, at some point this season, Westbrook is going to pass Derek Fisher on the all-time minutes played list in the NBA, and Fisher played until he was 39. Westbrook just turned 32 today. So, like, there's a glimpse into Westbrook's usage. And I want to read this particular paragraph from that Darnell column. There's, again, so much good stuff in there, and it's coming from somebody who knows Westbrook very well. There is a path to cap flexibility that remains, but Westbrook just sucks up too much of the cap at this stage. He's too flawed and too old at this point to truly justify the expense. He's closer to retirement than he is to replicating his magic from 2017, 2018, and to a lesser degree, 2019. Those days are done. Any team trading for Westbrook in hopes they're getting, quote, Mr. Triple-Double will be in for a terrible surprise. That guy is dead. Coming from somebody who has basically spent his time covering the majority of Westbrook's career. I mean, it's pretty clear cut to me.
Yeah, that's, and like you said, Darnell is somebody who's been an advocate of Westbrook's.
Yeah, he loves Westbrook.
I think the problem is, and it goes back to people even asking the question about Chris Paul. Chris Paul plays at a completely different level at his age than Russell Westbrook is. Like, the contracts are similar, but Chris Paul is a completely different player at his age right now than Russell Westbrook is, and even what he projects out to be over the next two or three seasons. We've seen sustainable success with Billy Donovan and Chris Paul too, with young players. Russell Westbrook just hasn't committed to that yet. He hasn't committed to the mindset of, hey, maybe in order to have a quote-unquote second career in my 30s, I need to take a lesser role and maybe more of a mentor, a second, third seat, and let the young players shine. And I don't think he's ready to give that up yet, which makes it even more difficult to find a path and a fit for him here at the Bulls. Unless, like you were saying, you open up a path of having cap flexibility enough to attract another star to play alongside Westbrook in 2021 or 2022.
Yeah, and if you can do that in a way, and that would require a lot of, you know, twisting and bending and flexibility, then maybe. But again, if we are to believe what has been reported, and Westbrook's desires are to go to a team that can get to the playoffs and contend, and he wants to be the guy on that team, a la Mr. Triple-Double after Durant left OKC, that's not getting you anywhere. Might get you a first-round exit. And even that might, you know, some Bulls fans listening right now will be like, well, hell, dude, I would kill for a first-round playoff exit after the last three seasons we've watched. And I certainly understand that sentiment. But I think the biggest question, and it's how Darnell basically rounded out his column, is this is an interesting idea for the Bulls, and it might work out for them if they can get Westbrook to be the player they need him to be, but Westbrook might not be ready to make that shift in his career. And it sounds like he is not ready to make that shift, like you were saying with CP3, who has adapted in his, you know, in his later years, and he's a few years ahead of Westbrook, and he's figured that out. Darnell doesn't think Westbrook's ever going to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. And, like, believe me, if you're a listener of our podcast for the last couple of years, I was a very, very strong advocate of saying, fuck it, let's roll the dice, put an actual star, a guy that has contended for MVPs. Russell Westbrook's won an MVP. Matt, like, and even going back to the minutes thing that you were talking about for a second, that scares me, and we don't even talk about the fact that Russell Westbrook tore his ACL at 1.2 in his young career. How do you think that's going to affect him in his later years? Like, those are things to think about, too, when you're paying him that much money and you're banking on the fact that he can maybe have one more, two more years of what he had, some semblance in OKC, but there's a lot of smart people that have watched him for a long time that are saying it's not going to happen. I've got another trade scenario if you want it, though. Maybe one that involves three teams and maybe a reason for the Bulls to roll the dice on Westbrook. But it does mean giving up one of your core pieces. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So it'd be Russell Westbrook. Actually, let me set it up this way first. So we've gotten rumors too, Matt, over the last 24 hours that the Bulls are heavily interested in the Warriors' number two pick. We were just talking about earlier in the week that the Bulls had interest in drafting at LaMelo Ball and maybe interested in the number one pick. Now there's some more rumors about the Bulls being interested in the Warriors' number two pick. I'm thinking, okay, let's try to make best of both worlds here. Let's make a three-way deal with the Bulls, Warriors, and Rockets. So my thought process was Westbrook and the Warriors, number two overall pick, come to the Bulls. Otto Porter Jr. goes to the Warriors. The Warriors send Andrew Wiggins to the Rockets. We send Markkanen to the Rockets, and the Rockets get the number four pick in the draft from the Bulls. Now, immediately you're probably thinking, why the hell would the Warriors do that?
Why do the Warriors do that is my question.
One would be thinking, okay, take a chance on Otto Porter for 1 year at a bloated contract. After that, his money's off the books. We can go and be, again, players in 2021 in free agency. That opens $30 million off your books to play in free agency. And Otto Porter,
because you're getting off of the Wiggins money.
Correct. Yes. Yes. And you're getting off the Wiggins money 2 years earlier. That was my thought process in them giving up the number two pick. My thought process, too, is, okay, if you're banking on the fact that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green still have, what, 2 or 3 years together as that core and can play at a high level, contend for a championship, 1 year of Otto Porter this year to bridge that gap again to that massive free agency class in 2021 and 2022, 1 year of Otto Porter can probably do more than what the number two pick will be able to do for you right now. So doing that, getting off of his money, that puts you in a good position next year. For the Rockets, you're getting Markkanen. Yes, you have to take Wiggins' contract, and you get the number four pick in the draft, so you get to bank yourself on a future guy and kind of bridging the gap again for James Harden to still be competitive and also maybe have a young player there, whoever drops down there, potentially take a guard next to James Harden. I think that, to me, again, I don't think all three of these teams say yes to this deal, but a deal could be worked where the Bulls' fourth pick, the Warriors' second pick, Russell Westbrook are getting moved around in a three-way deal. What do you think?
I think it's interesting. And you know, maybe the Warriors, as you mentioned, and their closing but still open championship window, assuming a healthy Steph, Clay, and Dre this season, see Otto as a very valuable starting wing. And you know, maybe they even have some Hamptons five-esque lineups where they, you know, play Draymond at the five along with Otto and Steph and Clay. And that could be pretty interesting to watch. And I guess if you're the Rockets, there's some enticing reasons to do that. For the Bulls, though, my question is, are you doing this knowing that trading up to number two and the Golden State pick nets you LaMelo? Because if LaMelo goes number one, then in my opinion, there is no point in doing that trade.
Yes. So that's probably another thing I should have thrown out there is, yes, the one caveat to this, and this might not even happen till draft night, where you're surprised LaMelo's there at two and the Warriors are like, hey, well, we're willing to listen to offers, and that would be it. It would be netting LaMelo and also getting Westbrook, being okay with taking his money on, and then you've got Westbrook, LaMelo, and LaVine as your backcourt, and then you have Kobe White too in excess coming off the bench, or flip-flop them. You got LaMelo coming off as your sixth man, and you've got White in your backcourt. I mean, that would be perfect scenario, and I would be willing to give up Markkanen at that point.
Yeah, I would. I think it's a very unlikely, but yes. if that were in place and I were AK, I would say, yeah, let's make a deal.
Again, a lot of these trades for Westbrook involving the Bulls just don't make a whole lot of sense. And again, unless the Rockets are willing to say, okay, we value saving money in the short term and getting off of Russell Westbrook's contract the most instead of competing. And that's kind of opposite of what they've said. But again, man, I don't know if I trust completely what their new GM is saying. Because again, think about who their owner is and think about how much money he's lost. And he's talked about it. He's like, I don't know if he's going to continue to spend on a Rockets team that's not getting to the finals, not getting to their ultimate destination. So I don't know. How do you feel about that, about the Rockets owner having an impact on this at all?
I mean, I think it's possible because clearly in a dicey financial situation, there's some organizational restructuring that has to be figured out with Daryl Morey's departure. They got to do some damage control as far as their international fan base because of the things that Daryl Morey said about China way back at the start of this season, and knowing that a lot of the revenue that the Houston Rockets generate comes from China and their fan base in China. There's a lot of things that they're juggling right now. But if Westbrook makes clear to them, look, I want out, make it happen, and they're just going to refocus on Harden being their MVP franchise player and trying to build different pieces around him, I think they will do everything they can as soon as the transaction moratorium lifts to figure it out. And whereas the Thunder, I think, wanted to do right by Westbrook because he was, he was with them ride or die even after KD abandoned them. And they wanted to send him to a contender. And so, they sent him to Houston. He reunites with his old pal Harden. And I think that, at least at the onset, was something that was happy enough. It made Russ happy enough. Do the Rockets care as much about that element of it, of the loyalty and doing right by it? People always use that phrase. A star player who wants out but maybe would have a short list of teams that he would prefer to go to? Or do the Rockets just say, hey, man, we're juggling a lot of different shit right now, and we need to just get what we can get for Westbrook, regardless of how he feels about it.
It's going to depend on how badly he pushes back on the Rockets and says, "Nah, man, I'm not like I'm to the point where I'm not even going to play, and I want out that badly." And that'll determine how desperate the Rockets are to deal him away. But there's definitely some suitors out there, and Charlotte's emerging as one of the favorites too. But I mean, again, this could all be smoke. Before we get out of here, Matt, and shifting away from Westbrook, I want to touch on a couple of other rumors, too, that the Bulls have been mentioned from other sources. One I was mentioning to you, Keith Smith's tweet from the other day. Keith Smith, a NBA insider for a long time with Yahoo Sports and a bunch of other publications. He was really, really good on the bubble stuff over the past summer. I want to read you his tweets from a couple of days ago talking about teams that were most interested in or most active in trade negotiations and trade talks. All right, this was from the other day. It says, teams that seem to be the most active in trade talks right now: Atlanta, Boston, Charlotte, Chicago, Golden State, Minnesota, New Orleans, and San Antonio. Multiple teams have told me versions of Spurs are up to something. It's rare for them, but they are talking to lots of people. Of course, all 30 teams are talking, but those teams are the ones who are consistently mentioned as reaching out around the league. Teams at the top of the draft or with multiple picks. Spurs mentioned is weird, but they have a million guards and cap space ideas for 2021. Does anything involving or on that Spurs roster interest you if the Bulls were looking to maybe move down in the draft in turn for a young, controllable point guard?
I mean, I've always been a big fan of DeJounte Murray. And they still got Lonnie Walker, right?
Yes, and they also have Derek White.
And Derek White. Yeah, I mean, I like all those pieces.
How about a trade for DeMar DeRozan?
DeRozan's still got some good years ahead of him. What's his contract situation like? He's got one more year?
Yeah, so he's got a player option for 2020, 2021, a free agent after that. So, I mean, realistically, you could even think about a flip for Otto, right? If you're going to go smaller and you're going to play three guards in your backcourt, you could talk about pairing White, DeRozan, and LaVine in your backcourt for Otto Porter plus probably... I mean, then you're talking Otto Porter and what, the fourth pick for what do the Spurs have, the 11th?
Yeah, that's... would you do that deal? I don't know. I don't know if that moves the needle a whole lot. But, you could still get yourself a quality player at 11 that might help. And if you're trying to maybe get yourself a different wing prospect to replace, you know, the departure of Otto, you know, the kid from Florida State, Devin Vassell, might be there at 11. He might go ahead of that, but he might be there. Somebody might fall that far. Maybe one of the guards that we're talking about falls that far for whatever reason. Hayes falls that far. Halliburton falls that far. You know, Sadiq Bey is another name. The kid from Nova, I really like, who's kind of projected to go in like the, you know, 10 to early teens range. So the four through, you know, four for 11 swap, I actually kind of like. It just is a question of how farther along you think getting DeRozan gets you.
Yeah, if you can restructure a deal and or just take the 1 year chance on him and say, hey, let's see how things work out here. And maybe if you like it after a year, you want to re-sign for another year and play again alongside Zach LaVine. Like, there's no saying that the Bulls couldn't do one and ones with DeRozan until LaVine's contract runs out to see if there is something there long term. Like, that gets you a bridge closer to an all-star, a guy that's a veteran, borderline all-star next to LaVine, another quality player on both sides of the ball. And then, like you were saying, too, I think our discussions and hearing actual draft analysts and experts who are really tapped in to what's going on right now, and things could change in a week, but hearing Killian Hayes could fall all the way down to the late lottery, man, I mean, that would be... That would be insane, right? You trade four and Otto Porter for DeRozan, move down to 11. The Spurs get the fourth pick, get to take their chance on whoever they want. They get Otto Porter for a year, and we get to still take Killian Hayes at 11, or maybe Tyrese Halliburton, or maybe even Isaac Okoro at 11. I don't think the Bulls lose in that scenario if they move down to 11 to make a deal with the Spurs, no?
No, I don't think so. I don't think... you know, Okoro is the one name among those that you rattle off that I would say I would be shocked if Okoro is still there at 11. But, you know, some of the other names, and they're names that we haven't really talked about much, Jordan, because we're assuming the Bulls are going to pick at four, and we've been focusing in that 3 to 7 range of players. You know, I mentioned Sadiq Bey, but like as far as young backcourt pieces, and we know that the Bulls are looking or certainly interested to add young backcourt piece in this draft. You know, I mentioned Lewis earlier. Maybe he's there at that spot. RJ Hampton could be there at that spot. I'm guessing Tyrese Maxey, the guard from Kentucky, could be there at that spot. A lot of interesting names that we really haven't, you know, dove into that deeply because we're focused on four. But there's some really, I think, some good value around that spot of this year's draft class.
Yeah, and again, another name that the Bulls were involved in was Patrick Williams. I don't know if he ends up being there at 11 or not with how high people are on him over the last couple of weeks. But yeah.
Like, I don't think, at this point, I don't think he gets past Detroit at 7 if Detroit keeps that pick at 7. That's what I've been hearing pretty much everywhere.
If the Bulls are going to trust their evaluations from early on, man, all signs are indicating to me there is going to be somebody good that falls to 11 because there's names over the past couple of months that have risen up the draft boards. And honestly, guys like Killian Hayes or Devin Vassell, or even like you were talking about Kira Lewis Jr., you're getting your combo guard that you can develop and control for several years to come off the bench. Don't have to put any pressure on him. And then, like I was saying, you're going to get to be able to plug and play a veteran combo guard in DeMar DeRozan alongside LaVine and Kobe White, and you don't have to give up Carter or Markkanen. Try to talk me out of from the Spurs point before we get out of here. Is there any reason why the Spurs would be hesitant to do that?
Man, it's tough to say because the Spurs are just kind of like in this weird fluxy crossroads right now with the ending of the Kawhi era. And not really sure they want to commit any further to DeRozan and figuring out which of these young pieces they're going to build around. Is Pop going to stick around for this phase of the organization? We just saw the news yesterday that Timmy Duncan is stepping away from his full-time gig as an assistant to Popovich. So, you know, just like the Rockets, the Spurs are juggling a lot of balls right now in this quick, condensed offseason, and they've got a lot to figure out. Maybe they do something crazy to try and get themselves on a new path that is direct and aggressive. But I mean, I was about to say I'd be surprised to see the Spurs make that move, but the Spurs sometimes do sneaky stuff, man. I don't know.
They have a lot of players that interest me from a standpoint of young, controllable, either wings or combo guards. that I think they'd be willing to part with. And also, there's two contracts on there. Like, even if they decided, you know what, we want to stick with DeRozan for one more year and see if we can make maybe a push with some of our younger guys, but they're willing to deal LaMarcus Aldridge, man, he's making $24 million for one more year. Like, making a deal for that, but also adding, like, at that point, you're not getting a star player in DeMar DeRozan or even somebody that's borderline, so I need something else from the Spurs. So to move down to 11, LaMarcus Aldridge, I would need a guy like, I don't know, maybe take a chance on like a guy like Keldon Johnson. I don't know how high they are on him. Or Luka Semantic was with one of their other past first round draft picks to two wings that you could supplement to and still get your guard at 11. I don't know, maybe you take a shot on that. Those are conversations that I think could be had, but like you said, again, yeah, the Spurs are very sneaky, but I think they're, like, the more I'm thinking about it now, man, I'm talking myself into a possibility of the Bulls and the Spurs talking back and forth about a possible deal. It just makes sense from the standpoint of both teams and where they're at.
Yeah, I think it does. And we do know that there is certainly a line of connection there, because didn't Eversley work for the Spurs for like 6 or 7 years?
Yeah, I would have to fact check that, but if he did, then that makes even more sense. One guy that unfortunately is not with the organization anymore did have some connections to the Spurs that we wouldn't be able to tap into anymore.
I work for Greg Popovich.
Oh, I had no idea that he worked for Greg Popovich.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting, man. There's a lot of teams floating out there, and I think Boston could even be, to some extent, a possible trade suitor with the Bulls, too. And we can talk more about that next week and in our mailbag episode coming out tomorrow. Do you got anything else, Matt, before we get out of here? Anything else we didn't touch on?
I'm just excited to see what happens with this draft, man. It's, you know, we touched on a couple of different latest rumors we've heard about the Bulls. Oh, they want to move up to number two, or maybe there are some different teams that they're talking to, or the fact that the Bulls are one of the most talkative teams about making draft night deals right now. And to me, I'm still taking all of that with a big old grain of salt, because we don't know. It's a giant mystery right now, and it's exciting and it's terrifying, but I am still putting my trust in the hands of AK and Eversley and their new staff. And I just can't wait. If some crazy shit goes down on draft night, I will be here for it. And I will, you know, be eagerly waiting to talk to you about it on this podcast, man.
Let me round it out with a laugh. Did you see Kendrick Perkins try to pronounce the Rockets owner's name on NBA Jump yesterday?
Yes, I did. And I've watched it on loop probably a two dozen times this morning.
Oh, Timmy Fatito, it's comments and news flash. Your franchise players gotta know what's going on. Timmy Fatito, it's common sense. It's not rocket science. But to some people, common sense is not that damn common. Timmy Fatito.
I couldn't stop dying laughing, man. And like, even like,
Kelly Furtado.
Timmy Fatito.
The media thought was, I was like, this is like a dude filling in on the radio for somebody sitting normally in their afternoon spot. Is like, oh, thanks for listening to us here. It's Tim Infertito here on blah, blah, blah station. I just couldn't get that out of my head, man. It was so funny.
Dude, he is quickly becoming the Charles Barkley of ESPN.
Dude, the thing is, too, is like, he pisses players off, too, which in a business where we're all about opinions and all about strong opinions, like Kendrick Perkins, even if he says some dumb stuff sometimes, I like that he moves the needle, especially for players that are in the league that he still pisses off. So I'm awesome. I'm cool with it. He's better than Paul Pierce, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's not hard.
Timmy Fatito.
I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You guys can hit us up next week. We're going to be flooded. So we're going to try to get to, try to maybe do, at each episode leading up to the draft, do a little bit more mailbag and try to answer your final questions leading up to the draft night. Hopefully by the time we talk to you guys again on Monday. We've got some rumors, maybe even some potential deals going down or agreed to. It's going to be a lot of rumors flying over the next several days. So stay in tune with us. We'll be on Twitter updating you as well. On Twitter, at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. You can hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Timmy Fertitta.
Who?
Timmy Fertitta.
Who?
Timmy Fertitta.
Who?
Timmy Fertitta.
Who?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com